you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Okay, glad you're here on the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, or on the phone. We still have phones, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. At 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist, among the topics today. Not a good thing to be in the emergency room in this heat. Dr. Ginsberg will tell us why. And a new study shows some distant earthquakes trigger quakes in fracking wells. So those will be some of the topics Dr. Ginsberg will talk about. Then at 35 after the hour, we call it Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Mike Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry. Do you have an agenda today for us?
We do. We're going to talk about two things. One, there was a story making it on the internet this week about using egg whites to protect yourself from a burn. So if you got a skin burn or were actually in a fire and got a burn, you were to put on this egg white mixture. Just have someone in your family make egg whites, slap it on, and you'll protect yourself from the burn. Well, Arthur's saying, is this the truth or just a good yolk? And the second, that's a funny joke.
I know.
And the second one is, what about stem cells? Stem cell ointments and creams are now being sold commonly for facial rejuvenation. Is there any truth to the fact they make a difference? Or what do you have to know to find the one that does make a difference as opposed to all the others that don't? Arthur's going to tell us about those things today on that You Beauty segment of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
All right, at 35 after the hour. By the way, does mud still work for bee stings? Is that still effective if you get a bee sting, putting mud on it, you know?
I don't know. Have you tried it?
Oh, we did it as kids. I mean, we always done it as kids, but I haven't been stung by a bee in a long time. We used to put mud on the bee sting and it'd do something about the sting.
And did it cool things down?
Yes, it did, yeah. So I'd probably think that's
probably... Yeah, that's
probably,
the way it works.
Yeah.
I don't think it draws the stinging out, mm-hmm. but by cooling the area around it down,
yeah.
Don't scratch it. Two, you're not as likely to infect it, although the mud is dirty and could infect it. But the lack of scratching is a very good thing, and by putting it on a cool area, it decreases the inflammatory response, so you have much less of an inflammatory response to it. But we'll ask Arthur that one to get more specific about it.
I would think after 60 years, there'd be some breakthrough in medical technology that would be better than mud, but if that still works, that's a good thing. Let's go through some emails. So if you have an email question, udocs@gmail.com. And Dr. Mike's answers. This is from Tom, Dr. Mike. Tom's in New Jersey. In hot summer weather, I drink about 4 to 5 sodas a day. That can't be good, can it?
Well, in fact, it isn't good. In other words, the real question from Tom, actually, is are you drinking sweetened or unsweetened drinks? Obviously, the sweetened drinks are about 150 calories for just that amount, so that's definitely not good. I think you drink, as I understood the question, unsweetened drinks, but what happens with those is that apparently you get addicted to the sweet taste. Your body doesn't see it as sweetness, so it apparently... addicts you to sweet foods. By the way, let me go. Americans now drink about 44 gallons of soda, and that's good news because it's 10 gallons a year less than the peak of 54 gallons a year in 1998. I obviously contributed to that. In 1998, I was drinking many more than 54 gallons a day, and now I drink none, so I'm bringing the average down. But one 12-ounce soda obviously has 150 calories, 44 gallons. Your average intake is 67,000 calories, which is more than 20 pounds worth, if you will, or is about 20 pounds worth of calories. Cranberry juice packs a whopping 12 teaspoons of sugar in every 12-ounce glass. Orange juice and cola both have 10 teaspoons. Your best choices, obviously, are water, 50% of your daily intake. Unsweetened tea or coffee, they're really good. Non-fat milk, and if you want to make, if you want fruit juice, stick with a 4-ounce glass. Limit alcohol to 2 glasses a day for men and 1 for women. And by the way, a new study points out that 1-a-day drinkers are thinner than those who don't drink or drink more than 2 drinks a day.
Coca-Cola's quarterly results came out this week, and their quarterly profit was down a little bit, and they're claiming a couple of things for that. Number one, the cool, wet weather, spring and early summer, and people are drinking less soda. Their consumption of soda is less, so that contributed to their quarterly report being down, so that's that should make you feel a little good. Here's Sandy's question, Dr. Mike. I'm desperate, similar question. I'm desperate to find an energy drink that's good for me. What's out there?
Well, Sandy, the good thing is the best energy drink we know is probably coffee that is black or caffeinated water. There also is a caffeinated water. So those are two good, but a black coffee is the favorite one, and you want it black and you want it made with a filter, a paper filter, because otherwise some of the stuff that gets through raises your LDL cholesterol. So caffeine boosts energy, plus helps starve off heart disease, Parkinson's disease, dementia, 9 types of cancer. It eases migraine, improves exercise performance, opens airways, steps up concentration, memory, and reaction time. So the more you have, the better you are, as long as you don't get too anxious with it. So there are 4 side effects: migraine, headache, heart, abnormal heartbeats, gastric upset, and anxiety. If you don't have one of those, the more you have. The second best drink for you, obviously, is caffeinated water. The third, actually, water is first, so caffeinated water, coffee is second, caffeinated water or tea is third, and skip the energy drinks with additives, sugar, and extra vitamins. If it says lecithin, creatine, taurine, phenylalanine, citricoline, tyrosine, or choline on the label, where you cannot understand whatever is written on the label, and it says amino acids and doesn't list them, say no thanks. They cause inflammation, boost blood sugar, and can trigger dangerous reactions. And get extra vitamins from 5 to 9 servings of fruits and veggies a day, not from something with an unknown amount or something that will interact with your other food through a beverage.
All right. Thank you for the email, Sandy. Let's fit this one in before the break. And Dr. Ginsburg, Dr. Mike, this is from Katie in Gainesville, Florida. My sister just went through chemo, and although we're thrilled that it seemed to beat her cancer, while she was going through it, almost killed her. Will there ever be a better way to fight cancer?
Well, you know, the great news is there are now a whole bunch of new therapies, immune therapies, where they're learning how cancer cells can spread without getting attacked. So one of the tricks of a cancer cell is it fools your immune system to thinking it is a normal cell. And so the goal is, how do you get your immune system to attack your cancer without it attacking you? And so there are a whole bunch of new molecular targeted therapies, that's what they're called, that will attack these cancers. The second area is we're learning so much about the genetics of cancer. As we get a little bit of the cancer, we're learning what receptors it has on it, and there will be medications and foods like aspirin, fish oil, broccoli, vaccines that are being developed that'll prevent or really treat cancer with these vaccines. So there's a lot of hope on the way, but it's still 5 to 10 years away.
Okay, Katie, thank you very much. Hope your sister is doing well. Sounds like she is. Ever you need to have a question answered by Dr. Mike Roizen, just to email us at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, and we'll do a segment every week with your email questions and Dr. Mike's answers. What's toxic and what's not? Dr. Gary Ginsburg, coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show brought to you by YouBeauty.com and morning and night multivitamins. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not. Our favorite toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Glad you're here again today, my friend. Glad you're here.
Oh, yeah, it's always good to survive the heat wave and the onslaught of ozone and still be able to talk about it.
Well, that's a topic today. It's hot weather, hot summer weather, and the emergency room. Evidently, they don't go together. What are the details?
Well, the ER emergency departments at hospitals, especially inner-city hospitals, really bear the brunt of trying to defray the effects of heat waves like this. And you might think that it's, you know, your average person who doesn't have enough air conditioning in their house, they just want to cool off. And the waiting room is a cool place. So there's some of that. But I think mostly what it is people who have hot jobs. And we're talking about firemen who are putting out fires with all that equipment, people who work in bakeries and cooks and in kitchen areas. And these places, you know, there aren't heat regulations. So you could have temperatures of well above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's supposedly okay. And so you end up with heat exhaustion after 4 or 5 or 6 days of heat wave. You end up with a lot of dehydration. And so the number one way to keep people out of the emergency room from hot jobs or just because you don't have an air conditioner and you're elderly is hydration. Keep the fluid level up. And the number one way to know that you are becoming dehydrated, if you notice that your urine is turning a darker color. It could be because you ate beets and it's turning your urine red, but probably in hot weather, it's because you're not drinking enough. So if you have a hot shift kind of job, those jobs need to rotate people. Instead of working a normal 8-hour shift, you need to work shorter shifts or have longer breaks so that you can cool your body off, lots of cold drinks, and that'll keep you, hopefully, out of the emergency department. But heat strokes, I was once at a baseball game on a hot Sunday afternoon, and people were passing. They were carrying people out of that ballpark because it was 95 degrees in the broad sun. So if you're subject to that, don't go to a day baseball game. You know, it's just too hot. In these hot weather.
I don't think people really, Gary, realize how important it is to stay hydrated. I think a lot of people do get dehydrated, but, you know, just drinking water occasionally, I think that's important. I don't think people realize how important that is.
Well, you know what people trust? They trust that their thirst will tell them when it's time to drink, and it may not always work to your advantage. It may be too late by the time you get thirsty.
Okay, topic number two, vegetation, good in protecting our lungs from ozone, but apparently in dry conditions, not
less
sufficient
so.
Enough, yeah?
Less so, yeah. Well, it's always been curious to me, why is there less asthma and better cardiovascular health in people who live in greener spaces? Even if you're in an inner city, but you're near, let's say, Central Park, if you take a lot of walks in Central Park, spend time there, because vegetation is a huge sponge for ozone. So when let me ask you guys this, because this is a question I often ask my audience. When do you think ozone levels are the worst on a hot summer day?
Dr. Mike, your turn.
Oh, they got to be late afternoon.
Yeah.
It starts going up at 10 a.m. as the sun gets stronger, peaks at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then once the sun gets lower in the sky, the ozone is so reactive that it starts dropping as soon as the sun stops creating all that photochemical reactions. So by 5, 6 in the afternoon, like this time of the day, this is a much better time of the day to mow the lawn, because we have air quality alerts up and down the eastern seaboard this week from all the stagnant air, all the smog. And that's where...
Could we shoot...
Yep.
Could we shoot plants or plants into the air? Can they grow in the air, in the atmosphere, and help clean up things? In other words, as part of global warming decreases?
Maybe. You know, that would be a very creative solution. I don't know quite how we'd engineer that. But what I learned this week is that plants, vegetation, they sponge it up. They take up to about 20% of the ozone out of the air unless there's a drought. So what we could do is try to keep the vegetation and the plants as hydrated, as watered as possible, because when they're well watered, they open their stomata to the atmosphere, and that's when they suck up a lot of ozone. But if they're in drought conditions, they shut down, they don't suck up the ozone, and the conditions are much worse for us. So hot, dry, stagnant air is the worst possible scenario. You don't want to be out in the middle of the day jogging or mowing the lawn or doing yard work, because that's when the ozone is the worst. But if it's rained recently, you're probably better off.
And the ozone problem is worse in the summer, not so much a problem in winter months?
Not at all. No. Yeah, ozone levels are generally pretty low in the winter months because it's all dependent on the intensity of the sunlight.
Okay, there's a debate over BPA-free plastic, Gary. Give us the details.
Yeah. All right, well, as a toxicologist, I called the Eastman Chemical Company a number of years ago when they started advertising BPA-free plastic in terms of the hard, clear plastic to replace the polycarbonate to make BPA-free water bottles. And I called them and I said, well, you guys are making something called Triton, which is now the BPA-free plastic that's going into all these water bottles. How do we know that it's not reaching something else that's endocrine disruptive? And I got a lot of hand-waving and no clear answer, and no, they wouldn't send me any data. Well, it turns out that after enough toxicologists and enough people asked them, they paid for a study that showed that it didn't reach anything. And then they published that study in a peer-reviewed scientific journal, but they didn't put the acknowledgement in the study, you know, so the Triton, Eastman, Kodak didn't acknowledge the fact that they paid for the study. So everybody thought that this was a kosher, on the up and up, you know, neutral, no bias kind of study. But the whole thing was paid for by the chemical company making the plastic. And then recently there was an expose done. A couple of other competitors of theirs tested their plastic water bottles and found endocrine disruptive chemicals leaching out. Now there's a lawsuit about who's right and who's wrong, but it just goes to show a couple of things. Number one, drinking water out of plastic always is probably going to leach something. Number two, that if you don't have clear disclosure in a publication, you're always suspicious of what are they covering up. They didn't want to acknowledge that they were paying for this endocrine study of their own plastic, and it has lots of, I've read lots of red flags.
Okay, give us, in a minute, give us more on this study about earthquakes and quakes in fracking wells in about 60 seconds.
Yeah, well, there have been an increasing frequency of earthquakes, not huge ones, but 3 to 5 on the Richter scale in the Midwest, places like Texas and Oklahoma and into Kansas, where a lot of fracking for natural gas has been going on, a couple in Pennsylvania. And so everybody thought, well, it's these deep injection wells where they're putting all this fluid in the ground, putting pressure on the bedrock that's causing the fracking. Now we're learning, this new geologic study, that this is actually a pass-by effect. When there's a huge trembler, a huge earthquake, somewhere else in the world, that shockwave travels through the Earth's crust, eventually, maybe 6 months later, gets to Texas, and where all these fracking veins have been created, it sets off a tremor there that actually turns into a 3 or 5 on the Richter scale. So this is sort of a sympathetic tremor that's coming from months before, from another part in the world. We're opening up these veins down into the earth that are natural fault lines for new earthquakes.
All right, we'll have to talk more about that sometime soon. That's our weekly toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Go to his website, whatstoxic.com. Toxic things, even non-toxic things. You might be surprised at what you'll see on the website. Coming up, it's Straight Talk from the Docs, another fantastic segment with Dr. Mike Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry as we roll on here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can send us your questions on skin, of course, because this is the YouBeauty.com segment with the great Dr. Arthur Perry. And I'm in beautiful Lake Tahoe today, Arthur. And the sun is beating down. It doesn't matter whether it's winter or summer. The sun beats down here. It's the highest sun percentage. So I really need some of that, what's it called? Skin time?
So we've got daytime,
whatever,
Mike.
The stuff is
daytime,
that blocks sun.
Daytime.
Sun daytime.
SPF 20.
Daytime.
I hope you're using it. I sent some to you. I hope you're using it.
Well, I'm using last year's variety because I gave the New Year variety to my wife.
It's okay. It still works. You know, even though there's an expiration date on it, the truth is zinc oxide doesn't degrade the way those other sunscreens do. So I'm not worried about that. I can't sell it with an expiration date that it's expired, but it works. I know that.
In any case, Arthur, we had some great stories this week. There was a wonderful story on the internet about the fact that if you were likely to get a burn, it looked like it was a chemical burn or had a burn from other things, or maybe even a sunburn, that what you had to do is separate eggs, take the egg whites. Of course, if you've got egg whites separated in your refrigerator, all the better. Put them on your face, put them on the burn, and it protected you from the burn, and you ended up without a scar. So I obviously want to know the truth. What's the story on this? Is this the real thing, or is this a bad yoke?
Yeah, right. Mike, you took my joke. All right. So here's the story. Here's the story. Now this is all over Facebook, and you know, these, it's amazing how these stories get started and they circulate. And I actually received two different versions of this from two completely separate people. So you know, it's getting around. And sensationalist things that sound wonderful, I'm not so sure. So here's the story. So the word on the internet is that if you just take some egg white and put it on a burn, and there are different burns they talked about, Mike. Yes, chemical. Yes, boiling water was one of those, and flame burn. Just put it on there, and you'll heal up quickly. You won't have any scar. Now, you know me and have known me a long time. I'm generally a skeptic, but I'm open to new things. I certainly want things. You know, it'd be wonderful if you could just put egg on your face. How many of you have had egg on your face? You've been told you've got egg on your face. Well, here it might be a good thing, right? All right, but here's the story, Mike. There's one paper, just one, in the world's literature ever about putting egg on wounds. And it wasn't egg white. This story on the internet said put egg white on. What they did in Iran, believe it or not, in a study that was published about 2 years ago, they took a bunch of rats and they wounded them. You know, you can't get away with that in the United States anymore because rats are protected. We all know that they're, you know, they're running for political office. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. But
wait a second. Rats... What we're saying is that there is a animal rights group that is honest, and that we, in fact, have animal IRBs, that is Institutional Review Board, to make sure the animals get humane treatment.
It's a good thing we have a straight man on board. That's right. That's correct. With those studies, we all do respect animals, and those of us who have done animal studies, they're not done indiscriminately, and they're done for the benefit of mankind. So here it was, for the benefit of mankind, in Iran, they burned the backs of 60 rats, and they put egg, not egg white, like was circulating on the internet, they put purified egg yolk extract, the oil of egg yolk. So not that the glob of yellow that you you see in your frying pan, but they purified
egg white or egg yolk.
And egg yolk, Mike, egg yolk. This was the study. Now what's in egg yolk that could possibly help?
But I thought
help
the other
healing?
I thought what was going around wait, Arthur, I thought what was going around the internet was egg whites.
Right. There's no studies about egg white, Mike. Zero. The big zero.
So this
not
is a
one.
Study about egg yolks.
Egg yolk. So I thought we would bring it up because at least maybe whoever started circulating this crazy story, maybe they read this particular study. So what's in egg yolk? You know what's in egg yolk. I'll quiz you. What are the things in egg yolk, Mike? Do you know?
No. Well, there's obviously cholesterol. Okay. There's obviously saturated fat. There's right. obviously beta carotene. But I don't know all the ingredients.
Well, Mike, you said no, but yet you hit the things. You're correct. You know, there's triglycerides, phospholipids, like you said, saturated and unsaturated fat. There is vitamin D, carotenoids, and immunoglobulins. And that was why it was suspected that maybe these things could help healing. So in this very small study in a country far, far away, they did show in this study that egg yolk extract could improve the speed of wound healing in these rats. So, you know, whether or not that gets translated to humans, I'm not sure. However, let's go back to that story that circulated on the internet. Egg white. Do you think that would be a good thing to just, if you burn yourself, smash a few eggs, you know, get out the yolk and put egg white on your face? What do you think about that one, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it was an amazing thing, and it sounded so real that you wanted to say, boy, I hope this is real. I hope this is real. This would be nice. We could just carry some egg whites with us wherever we go, because egg whites you can get in cartons.
Right. Here's why I don't think, first of all, there's no studies, none whatsoever. There's never been a study. No one has taken egg white and put it on wounds and looked to see if that helped healing. So this is, it could be an anecdote, which, as you know, is an un, you know, an uncontrolled type of, not even a study, it's just one person's experience, or it could be what we nicely call a hoax. But if we go to, if you were to do that, and I suspect that some people will now see this on the internet and just jump right on that yoke, jump on the bandwagon, and do this. What could be wrong with it? Well, here's what's wrong. And you know me, I'm the party pooper. So somewhere between 4 and 5% of eggs contain salmonella on the surface of the eggshell. So somewhere in that area. And somewhere around 2 to 3 or so percent contain listeria, another bacteria. So there's a fairly high percentage of egg. We're not talking about the egg inside, which should be sterile. We're talking about the egg shells, because remember, they're, you know, these chickens lay these eggs, and they're in farms, and they're in chicken coops. And we know that it's not the most sanitary of situations. And so these studies have been done. There are plenty of studies that show a lot of bacteria on eggshells. So if you were to put, you know, take your raw egg and put that egg white, raw egg white on your wound, there's a significant chance that you would be inoculating this brand new wound with either salmonella or listeria, the two most common bacteria that live on the surface of these eggs. If you do that, that ain't a good thing, Mike, particularly if you have diabetes or are immunocompromised or have another chronic illness. There are, in the literature, plenty of cases. You know, I've never seen one, I'll be honest with you, but there are salmonella wound infections. It's not common, because salmonella is a GI organism. That's, you know, our gut, and that it causes infections in our gut. But if it's introduced onto the skin in a burn, particularly someone that's immunocompromised, and by the way, all burn patients become immunocompromised if you have more than about a 10, 15% burn, size burn. So if you smear this on your body and you've got a good size burn, you're really doing a number on yourself. So here's the story, Mike. Don't fall for this yoke. Don't do it.
We should not definitely fall for that yoke. So whatever you read on the internet, it isn't absolutely true. And in this case, it could be very harmful. Even if you just did this thinking, well, it's benign, I'll put some egg whites on it. Although if you get the pasteurized egg whites from the carton, it may be without that salmonella risk to it, eh?
That could be. And then the only question is whether it really does anything.
Well, we're going to keep looking for studies on this when we come back. And your questions are always welcome on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Just email us at udocs@gmail.com. You can call 877-711-5211. It's toll free, 877-711-5211.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank,
I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And we're always on Radio MD with you. Radio MD, you can listen to all of our archive shows at Radio MD. Just go to radiomd.com, look for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, go to the archives, and you can hear any of the shows. Arthur has a great topic now on this YouBeauty.com segment for the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Arthur, there are a lot of ads for stem cell rejuvenating creams, moisturizers, liquids, things you put on at night. Now, the stem cells, I can guess, probably don't work because they can't be active out of the body that long, right? They're kept in the cream. But maybe the stuff around the stem cells has growth factors in it or whatever, those proteins that could help you. What's the story?
Mike, you know, I've been looking at this field for a long, long time, and I see things like these creams that they talk about, and I'm not going to mention a brand name, of course, but here's one that I found. You know, well, I'll make it reasonably anonymous. It's called a multi-perfection serum. $145 for an ounce, Mike. So that's one. Put that in the back of your mind. $145 an ounce. It says there's stem cell extract in there. And then there's one called a repair moisturizer. Okay, let's look for a minute at what's in some of these things. And then we'll figure out whether or not they can possibly work. So here's the one that's the moisturizer. That's $65, by the way. That's a good amount of money. We've got grapeseed oil. We've got lemon, apple, grape, aloe juice, jojoba. I like saying that word, jojoba oil, shea butter, and borage seed oil. All those are good things for the skin. And then there's what they call a proprietary blend of fruit stem cells. All right, let's think about this. You're a scientist. I try
wait,
to
wait,
be a scientist.
Fruit stem cells? Stem cells from fruit?
Fruit. Fruit stem
cells. Not human stem cells.
What are these things supposed to do? No, fruit. It just drives me crazy. All right.
Well,
first
maybe
of all,
I get a maybe I get a cherry appearance.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. You put this stuff on your skin and you might grow some fruit. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? You know, these aren't animals. These are plants. They're cells. They say they're cells. You know, and I know that there's no way a cell, even if it were a stem cell, is in any way going to survive a process of making a cream. And if it did, it would be dead in a day. You know, without proper, you know, we try to keep cells alive in tissue culture, and it's difficult, no less on a bottle in a store.
Well, but what about the growth factors that come with them? You know, in other words, if you could harvest the soup around the stem cells that are living, don't those stem cells put out growth factors and other chemokines that could cause growth of new cells?
They first of all, let's just knock out of the world right now the plant stem cells, because we're talking black and white, you know, color and black and white, difference in humans and plants. So even if something made a plant work and grow, no one on earth would possibly say that it would make a human skin cell do anything. So let's not even talk about that. That's total fantasy. But let's talk about maybe.
Is there any data on this? No. But let's say that it's a human cell, a human stem cell in culture. We're growing those pluripotent ones. Could you, in fact, have the soup around it have growth factors for human skin?
It gets into a technical question. So in tissue culture, Mike, that means in a test tube, absolutely. There is no question that that could work.
But couldn't you take that growth factor? Couldn't you take that growth factor and put it in an ointment or a lotion?
Let's think about this. The growth factors are large molecules. They are a minimum of in the area of 700 Daltons. Now, I don't want to confuse the audience here, but these are large chemicals that cannot possibly get through the skin. And that is where the disconnect is in this industry, Mike. The size of the molecules. There's a very, very important rule that was published about 10 years ago called the 500 Dalton rule. Anything over 500 Daltons can't get into the skin. And I talk about this all the time. So the skin is like a chain link fence. Chain link fence can, if you try to push a ping pong ball through, you know that well, it'll go through. A golf ball, it'll go through. Try to get a football through, and of course it will not. Your squash ball that you like so much, maybe you can manipulate the molecules of that and just get it through. So there are some molecules that are somewhere right around 500 that you could play games with and get through. But the ones that you're talking about, these stem cell products, these biologically active proteins that can make cells do special things. So there are things called hexapeptides that are like that. And those things in tissue culture will make the cells that make collagen spit it out very fast, very efficiently. The problem is, even though it's a multi-million dollar industry having creams and things with those in it, there's not a single study that shows that they can penetrate the skin. And there's no studies, no good studies that are very, very well controlled scientific studies that show they really work. So I'm sorry to burst this bubble.
The bottom line, don't waste your money on these stem cell creams. Let's go right away.
Exactly.
Thank you, Arthur. Let's go right away to the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this one, 10 ways to outwit your appetite. Feed it protein for breakfast. You'll be less hungry later on and end up eating around 300 fewer calories during the day. At least that's what's happened in studies. Make it climb a flight of stairs. At home, store the most tempting foods way out of reach. For instance, Cornell University food psychologist Brian Wansick keeps his favorite soda in a basement fridge. Half of the time, I'm too lazy to run down there to get it, so I drink water in the kitchen. Sleep on it. People who get their Z's eat less. Give it something else to think about. When scientists scanned the brains of people eating different foods, they found that the brain reacts to fat in the mouth much the same way it responds to a pleasant aroma. So if you feel a craving coming on, apply your favorite scent or do one of those ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T dot com, I think they're called, and you can get the same smell and stop eating. Never let it see a heaping plate. The more food that's in front of you, the more you'll eat. So at a restaurant, ask your waiter to pack up half your meal before serving it to you. Then eat the extras for lunch the next day. Put it under lights. You'll consume fewer calories in a well-lit restaurant table than you do dining in a dark corner. In the light, you're more self-conscious and worry that other patrons are watching you eat. Talk it down. Entertaining friends with a great story doesn't give you much time to eat up, so you'll probably still have food on your plate when you're done. Offer it a seat. If you sit down to snack and use utensils on a plate, you'll eat fewer calories. Satisfy it with soup. Start every meal with some vegetable soup, and you'll eat 20% fewer calories, and give it fewer choices. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week, keeping a thin waist 6 years younger. Thanks for listening. Thanks for great engineering, Sonar. Thanks to all our guests, Dr. Perry.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to Parents Guide. CordBlood.org to learn more.